Keith. We'll pray for you. Heavenly Father, I thank you for Keith. Thank you so much, Lord, that he's prepared to come here and teach us today. And we're really grateful to him and his family for joining us. And so we ask you to bless him today and encourage him as he ministers to us. Amen.
Morning, church. Good to be with you guys again. Before I start, I just want to share a little story, but I believe I've got a word for you as a body. A few years ago, I wanted to plant a row of trees next to one wall in my garden just to block some noise, and the neighbors, we could actually look down into a neighbor's yard. So I didn't want to see what the neighbors were doing the whole time, so I wanted to plant these trees. Now I got the gardener, I got the trees, and I planted the first two, and he carried on. I said, listen, you saw me doing the first two, now carry on and plant the rest of the trees. So I left him to do it. And the months went by, and I think it's about 2-3 years. I noticed, hang on, there's a problem here. The trees that I planted, they're all growing, but some of them are not growing. They're staying at the same height. And I couldn't figure it out. I left it, and one day I had a new gardener there, and I phoned my wife from work. I said, love, please let the gardener just dig up those trees that are not growing and just see what's happening, why they're not growing. And she phoned me a while back later and said, you know what, you'll never believe it. The trees that the other gardener planted, he never took the plastic off the trees. He saw me taking the plastic off the first few trees, but the ones that he planted it in the ground with the plastic around it. That's why they never grew. And while sitting here, you took this bonsai tree off now, so just put it back on there. There is something hugely wrong with this picture here. We've got a tree here. Does somebody know how old this bonsai is? Not. And next to the tree, what do we have? A bird seed house, which is nearly bigger than the tree. That's a wrong picture, isn't it? I believe God is going to do some growth in this church. What restricted this church before is going to be taken away. Like I had to uplift those trees in my garden, God's going to just do some uplifting, and he's going to plant you guys in fertile soil. And there's going to be huge growth that's going to happen to the extent that that bird seed house will be hanging in a tree actually where it's supposed to be. And many birds will be attracted to it. And from this house, many people will be fed. And people will be feeding from here and taking it elsewhere as well. So there is some growing that's going to happen. And just remember, be encouraged. With growth, sometimes there's growing pains. But we glorify God for that as well. Harvey is not here now, but I'll share it with him as well. I had a look at you guys, and God brought the word gentle hands. And the last thing that a man wants to hear is, I've got gentle hands. But I believe God is talking about the spiritual hands, that he's given you guys the capability to be able to handle difficult situations with great care. And there's going to be some fragile situations that he's going to equip you guys to be able to handle it with great care also. As a church, one of you guys have been going through talking about taking ground and going through the book of Joshua, and we've heard how God has brought the Israelites out of Egypt, and because of unbelief and disobedience, the old generation had to actually die out in the desert, and there's a new generation that he was actually going to take into the promised land. And Tony gave us a nice run through that whole situation, and then we've heard actually through Tim how God has actually equipped each one of us, and he equipped us as a body to be able to go into our inheritance. So he's the one that does the equipping, and he's the one that gives us the gifts, and he's the one that enables us to actually walk into the promised land. And I was just so encouraged when he told the story about the little pistol shrimp, and that a tiny creature like that, how God has equipped it and to be able to survive and difficult situations. And likewise, he's doing with us. And then we heard that as a church, God will do it as a unity. There's supposed to be unity when we cross into the promised land. There's no place for lone rangers. When there's going to be growth in this body, it's going to be as a unit. It's going to be through the body, not one or two individuals. So. And Tim ended up last week about speaking about Rahab and the faith that she put in God. She's just heard stories about God. She's never experienced herself, yet she put her faith in God. And we likewise, we've never seen God, but a lot of us have experienced God, and a lot of us haven't experienced God yet. But yet God wants to bring us to a place where we all, as a body, experiencing, where we all as a body put our faith completely in Him. Like this group of Israelites, in Joshua 1 we read, they told Joshua, "We will be with you." As a body, they said, "Listen, we're going to do this thing together." And as a body, God is calling us, you guys, to do this together. So this takes us now to Joshua 3. I'm going to read it for us. It's early in the morning. Joshua and all Israel set out from Shittim and went to the Jordan, where they camped before crossing over. After 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp, giving orders to the people. "When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the Levitical priests carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. But keep a distance of about 2,000 cubits between you and the ark. Do not go near it." Joshua told the people, "Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you." Joshua said to the priests, "Take up the ark of the covenant and pass on ahead of the people." So they took it up and went ahead of them. And the Lord said to Joshua, "Today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of all Israel, so they may know that I am with you as I was with Moses. Tell the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant, when you reach the edge of the Jordan's waters, go and stand in the river." Joshua said to the Israelites, "Come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God. This is how you will know that the living God is among you, and that you will certainly drive out before you the Canaanites, Hittites, Hivites, Perizzites, Girgashites, Amorites, and Jebusites. See, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth will go into the Jordan ahead of you. Now then, choose 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe. As soon as the priests who carry the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, set foot in the Jordan, its waters flowing downstream will be cut off and stand up in a heap." So when the people broke up, came to cross the Jordan, the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. Now, the Jordan is at flood stage all during harvest. Very important point there. When they reached this Jordan River, it was in a state of flood. Yet, as soon as the priests who carried the ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap at a great distance away in a town called Adam in the vicinity of Zarathan. While the water flowing down to the sea of the Araba, that is the Dead Sea, was completely cut off. So the people crossed over opposite Jericho. The priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stopped in the middle of the Jordan and stood on dry ground, while all Israel passed by until the whole nation had completely crossed over on dry land. Can you imagine the mood in the camp? Israel was told, "Listen, you guys, you are going to take possession of this land now. The time is finally here. You are going to take hold of your inheritance." There was such excitement in this camp. Now, I don't know if you guys have been ever excited about something. A few years ago, as a family, we went to Plettenberg Bay and had the kids. They couldn't wait. "Dad, are we going? When are we going?" Especially the younger one, Ethan, he couldn't really understand so many days, and he was really excited. The morning came, we got into a car, and we live in Maritzburg. We weren't even at Howick yet. He said, "Are we there yet?" Still 14 hours drive ahead of us. But I think it's similar, the excitement there was in this game. They couldn't wait to actually walk into an inheritance. For 40 years, they've been walking in the desert. I think it must have been very tiring for them to walk into a desert. Finally now, the day has come. But there was one little problem. Can you put that clip on, please? This is actual footage of a River Jordan in 2013. as you can see, it's not a very big river. The widest place of this river is about 20 meters, and a certain place is about 3 meters deep. But as you can see, this is not easy to cross. Even if I was a capable person, I wouldn't take my chances crossing that river by myself. And you can imagine there's women and children as well. So this was actually a really problem that they faced here at this moment. The promised land is on the other side of this river, and they had to cross the river, which was in flood like this at that stage. It was, one thing was very clear. There was no way they couldn't do this in their own strength. God needed to do something here. They didn't have time to try and build or make plans to build a bridge here. If they were going to take this land, God had to do something for them. This river, for us today, represents things in our lives as well. Many a times there are raging rivers that stand in our way of actually walking into the promises of God. And it becomes such a huge obstacle that, and we face this and say, how on earth are we going to cross this river? It might be a sickness in your life. It might be a problem in your relationships problem. It might be your business is in trouble. And these raging rivers are real. It's a reality in your life. Just like this physical river that the Israelites face, it's a reality. It's there. And if you don't face, if you haven't got a raging river, the time is going to come when there will be a raging river. What are we to do when we face this, like the Israelites, this river in our life? As a church, you've had a word that God is calling you into taking your inheritance, into taking ground. But there will always be an obstacle in your way. There will always be a raging river in the way. And the idea here is not for us to get discouraged. Remember what the word said. What God was trying to show the Israelites here is that he was going to prove to them, just like he had been with Moses, he was going to be with Joshua. And he was going to prove to them, listen, you know what, this is nothing for me. I will do this for you guys. Okay, like I said, we were all faced raging rivers. When my accident happened, that was a raging river that I had to face. And no matter what the reports that came to me is, we had a choice. Do we believe this raging river, or do we stand upon the promises and the word of God? Choice we have to make. I remember the one day when in a rehab, what they did for me is they put my arms on a bicycle. Basically, it's a bicycle, same like a bicycle, but you put the thing on a table, and this hand they had to strap it to it because I couldn't hold on to it, and so I had to cycle with my arms first. And I had more strength in this arm, so the momentum in this arm carried this arm over, basically. And that was great. And they said, listen, when you can cycle the amount of kilometers from here, from Durban to Maritzburg, you can go home. So I did that for a few weeks, and I started strengthening my legs. And I had the same in this leg. My right leg is stronger. This left leg is very weak. Only some muscles only works still up to this day. And the one morning I said, listen, we're going to put you on a normal bicycle now, and the momentum from your right leg will be able to carry the left leg. And I said, let's do it. So to get me on a bicycle is not an easy thing. So eventually they got me on a bicycle. They tied this leg down, and I was sitting there, and they said, right, go. Nothing happened. Even in this leg, it would do nothing. I was sitting there, and they said, go. I said, I can't. And man, it was like I walk into a brick wall. There's just an enormity in the reality of a situation. Was like this raging river. I literally broke down. Emotionally, I was shattered. They had to take me off that bicycle and took me to our room, and I was in tears. I didn't want to see anybody. Because you see, I mean, that was after about a month and a half in rehab. And the raging river just hit me in my face again. And I'm the type of person, I mean, when something upsets me or I'm upset about something, I might blow my top, and I would take a walk, and I would, you know, pull myself towards myself in it. And that's what God had to do with me. And I was just, I came before God again, and I said, Lord, why is this happening? And he always told me, just remember the promise. What, this is not the the final report. And the next day I went in, I said, put me back on that bicycle. I'm going to do it. They said, no, the time is not right. Give it a break. It will happen. A few weeks later, they put me in a bicycle and I started cycling at Jasso. But the moral of the story is, you're going to face many raging rivers. Some of them might come quick upon each other. Take it to the Lord. Remember the promises that God has for you. So how was God going to help the Israelites cross this river and possess their inheritance? Can you put the first PowerPoint up there, please? Joshua 3 verse 5. Okay, that one says, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things amongst you. This word consecrate is actually a word that is used often in the Old Testament, and it pretty much to do with what the priests had to do, is how they had to prepare themselves, and the Israelites, how they had to prepare themselves in coming to before the Lord. But the root word here was for corporate, but it was also for individuals. The individuals had to consecrate themselves. So what does it mean to consecrate yourself? In biblical terms, it's set yourself apart. Be holy. Set yourself apart to the service of God. But in this word here, it was actually telling yourself, get yourself clean. It's like taking a dirty garment off or washing yourselves. It washes sins away. Make sure there's no sin amongst yourselves. This is what it was saying. Consecrate yourself. Set yourself apart for the work of the Lord. Be holy before God. If there's sin, repent of it. Why did God say that? Because so what the word was basically saying here is twofold. It's preparation and dedication. Prepare yourself. Consecrate your hearts. Consecrate yourselves and dedicate yourself to the things of the Lord. It reminds us when we consecrate ourselves that God is a holy God, that God cannot be in the presence of sin. They had to purify. I mean, if that high priest had to go into the presence of God, I think you guys know the story. He had a rope tied to him. If he wasn't prepared, he was going to die. And they had to pull him out. That's how serious God is with sin. He cannot be in the presence of sin. And it just shows us, again, it reminds us of the necessity of Jesus Christ. What Jesus did for us. We can enter the presence of God today because of what Jesus did on the cross for us. Just remember, God cannot use unclean vessels. Yes, we sin every day, but we need to repent of that sin. We need to come before God and say, Lord, forgive me. I've blown it again. Help me to overcome this. Sin is a big issue. Remember, God cannot use us unless we repent of our sins. The second step of how he was going to help him. Show the next clip, please. Without God, we cannot do anything. There's no way the Israelites was going to able to cross this river without God. Likewise, we cannot do anything in our own strength. John 15 verse 1 to 5 says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. When you try and do things in your own strength, it inevitably ends up in failure. And I don't know about you, I hate to fail. Failure brings discouragement. Failure brings, it sometimes takes some of your faith away. And God's saying, you know, if you want to prevent that, remain in me. Because only in me will you be successful. Only in me will you be able to do this. When you read this scripture, Joshua, God says, today I will do a mighty thing amongst you. But he gave them clear instructions of what they had to do. Number one, they had to consecrate themselves. They had to put their trust in God. We read the amazing thing here that God sent his ark before the people. Now remember, the ark was a representation of God himself. The ark was the presence of God amongst his people. And we read the story in verse 4. It says that this ark, he said, carried the ark 2,000 cubits in front of the people. Now 2,000 cubits was 900 meters. There had to be a distance of 900 meters between the people and the ark. Now, I don't know about you, I'm starting to get a bit older, but a lot of us, I think we struggle to see 900 meters. We need our glasses. And you, Lord, you are far away. Do you really have to be that far away, Lord? Why can't you be closer? It just shows you how far God goes ahead of us. Now, sometimes we can't even see it. It's too far away. But he is there already. Whatever challenges are there, he is ahead of us. He has faced it already. Another thing that we read in this passage of Scripture, it says that the water piled up near a town called Adam. It says it piled up in a heap a great distance away. Do you know how far that distance was? It was 32 kilometers away. That same raging river that God piled up. And it tells you they could walk on dry ground. Now, I've tried to look for a picture of them crossing, and all the pictures are of them crossing is where the water actually piles up, and you can see nice little fish. There's like walls next to you. And it wasn't like that. God piled up the water 32 kilometers away. There was no sight of a raging river anywhere. And I think he did it for a reason. Sometimes I think I put myself in their feet. If I had to walk through a river, and I can see this huge wall of water next to me with fish here. I mean, hang on, this thing, when is this thing actually going to fall over? I think he knew their hearts. He said, no, listen, he didn't give them any chance for unbelief to set in. Another thing that he had, the minute God crossed, he said, the minute the priest's feet touched the water parted. I think it had to take some faith on the side of a priest as well. I mean, to put your feet in that water there, you're going to take a chance. Water, the rocks can be slippery. You can lose your footing. You're carrying this ark. But the minute they put their feet in, they had to put their faith in God. God didn't tell him what he was going to do. He said, let your feet touch the water. And that is what God is calling us to do as well. We need to put our feet in the water. Sometimes we don't see an outcome, but we need to start walking in a direction. Say, Lord, you know what? I'm going to take ground. I don't know what the story looks like. I don't know how it's going to unfold, but I'll put our trust in you. And once we do it, God opens the doors for us into what we have to do. Hebrews 11 verse 6, it says, and without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists, and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. It's just how God works. We have to have faith. We have to trust in him. We have to believe in the promises. If he says, I'm going to do it, we have to believe that he's going to do it for us. It was the words that I've received from God. It's the words that my family received from God that carried us through. And you said earlier we had big faith. You know what? We didn't have big faith. All we had on was those promises. The alternative wasn't even an option. It's not that we had faith. We had promises, and that is what we grasped onto. I said, Lord, you know what? I can't let go of this. I refuse. If I let go of this, that is the option. And God is saying here as well, what is the option? What is the alternative here? If you refuse to cross this river, if you refuse to trust in me, where do you remain? You remain in the wilderness. And I'm not sure if it was Tony or somebody else that mentioned it before. There are a lot of Christians today that are still walking in the wilderness. Yes, they've accepted Christ into their hearts. They are believers. They are going to heaven. But they are not walking yet into the inheritance that God has called them yet. They haven't taken possession of that what God has given them. God is not a God that is just going to miraculously just put our promises into our laps. The Israelites had to do something here. They had to walk into inheritance. There were battles that had to be fought. Likewise, we have to walk into our inheritance. What What is the inheritance? I mean, God gave us a word clearly about this tree. What is our main purpose as believers? Why are we here? Are we here just on Sundays just to come glorify God, worship Him? Yes, there's a very important part of it. But what we do as believers is so much bigger than what we do on a Sunday morning. Okay. Next slide, please. Our biggest mission on this earth is to know Him and to make Him known. That is why we exist. That is why we were created. Is to glorify Him first in our own lives. Exalt Him in our lives, our family. Then we make Him known. If you want to walk into your inheritance, that's going to be your life motto. Lord, be known in my life. Let me know You and help me to make You known. That is how you take possession of the promises that God has for you. The goal is not to get people to church, but to get the church into the world. There's a lovely song that we sing, and there's a lot of truth to it, but sometimes the songs that we sing, we're going to watch it, but it's not in this particular song, but what is the words of the song goes like this: the cross before me, the world behind me, no turning back, no turning back. There's a lot of truth to it. Yes, what this song is saying is we're not going back to the ways of the world. But a lot of believers sing the song, Lord, only You, I don't want to go there, Lord. And they remain at the foot of the cross forever. And God is saying, you know what, at some point of time, you've got to go and face the world. You are still in the citizens in this world. You've got to go and face the world. Jesus, yes, He spent time with his Father. But what did He do? Inevitably, He went out and He faced the people. And that is a calling for this church. If we're going to take ground for God, we've got to go and face the world, despite the raging rivers in our lives. Come before God, Lord, I'm facing this raging river. Help me to overcome it, Lord, so that I can walk into the inheritance that You have called me. Lord, there's ground to be taken. Take this obstacle out of my way. Help me to have the faith to walk across this river. We all know it very well, Matthew 28:19-20. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey what I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of age. Here again God is saying, you know what? You're not in this alone. Do not be afraid. I am with you. I'm in doing this, taking this ground with you guys. This raging river is not a problem for me. It's just the enemy sometimes, he puts a raging river in front of us. He wants to put a seed of doubt in our minds. Can God really do it? That family member of mine that I've wanted to go and share about Christ before, but every time there's something happens and I'm either too afraid or I don't know what to say. We got all the excuses. Today is the day we're crossing those rivers. Get behind me. I'm walking into my inheritance. It's a choice that you've got to make, guys. The church has always been the transforming agents to bring change in society. We don't see it in our country. Where's the voice of the church in our country? We see the destruction around us. We see poverty around us. We see crime around us. We see injustices every day around us. What are we doing about it? Yes, we pray. But when we see somebody doing something wrong, do we bring the word of God into it? Or are we part of the group that just grumble like the Israelites grumble? In the Hebrews we read, the reason that they didn't enter the promised land, we all know they grumbled against God. Oh, we'd rather go back there. Oh, look what so-and-so is doing. Why is the government doing that? Why is it? God hasn't called us to grumble. God has called us to bring change about. We are to influence society. Matthew 9:38, Jesus said, ask the Lord of the harvest therefore to bring workers into the church. That's not what the scripture says. The word does not say ask the Lord to bring workers into the church. It says ask the Lord of the harvest therefore to send out workers into the world, into the harvest. For years and years, the church has been seen as 10%. The pastor gets paid a salary, and maybe the elders as well. It's their duty to actually do the work of the Lord. It's not that case. Each and everyone has got a part to play. You can influence people that your elders can never influence. It's those people, your work colleagues, it's the people that you meet every day. In varsity, students, your elders will never reach those people. Who's going to reach him? God's calling you guys to reach those people. So if you face those raging rivers, like the Israelites face those raging rivers, remember that God goes before us. That he said he will never leave us, that he never forsake us. But to cross that river, we have to dedicate ourselves to God. We've got to get rid of sin completely in our lives. As a body, do not deal with sin. Yes, there are ways we restore people, and sin is not a problem for God. Jesus Christ paid the price 2,000 years ago. If you are struggling with sin in your life, come clean before God. And there are sins that you cannot deal on your own, guys. Ask me, I've walked that road before. That I was battling with a particular part of my life, and no matter what I did, it just came back again, and came back again. There are certain sins that you are actually needing somebody to walk a road with you. That sin is so entangled to you, it's become so part of you, that no matter how hard you try, sometimes you need somebody to walk a road with you. There are some practical steps that we can take to get rid of sin in our lives. You know what else happened? The word says when sin is brought out in the open, its power is broken. So sometimes you actually need to go and speak to somebody about that. For the power of that sin to be broken in your life. And I trust the heart of the leadership in this church. The heart is for you guys to walk into victory. The heart is for you guys to overcome that sin. As a body, we need to walk in victory. The call is to be strong and courageous. Right from Joshua 1 we read that. So if you face a raging river, be strong and courageous. Know that God goes before you. Like 900 meters, you walk the road ahead of the Israelites. You have to set your eyes upon God. Without him, we are nothing. Without him, we cannot do anything. Are you guys excited to where God is taking you guys as a body? Are you excited to cross this river? You know, when we cross this river, we will carry on. The guys will share what happened when they crossed this river. They had to do things again. When we cross this river, what do? In our arsenal, we are putting testimonies that we can use. Do you know how great my God is? This is what God has done for me. I've got testimonies what God's done in our lives. But you know what? We do not have testimonies unless we cross that river. We do not have testimonies unless we overcome. God wants to give you guys an arsenal of testimonies. But the only way you can have an arsenal of testimonies is when you overcome, when you are walking into his promises. Are you willing to do that? Go and do it. Shall I pray for us? Father, I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are taking us into promises, Lord, that you have got plans and purposes for each and every one of us, Lord, that you've got plans and purposes for us as a body, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that you are always going ahead of us, Lord. And no matter what the raging rivers are in our lives, Lord, you are dealing with it, Lord. It is not an issue for you, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that there are many promises for this church, Lord. And as they walk this road, Lord, you fight the battles on their behalf, Lord. And all we have to do, Lord, is to be obedient to you, Lord. We have to consecrate ourselves and set ourselves apart and be holy before you, Lord. So I pray for each and one, every one of us, Lord, that you will help us, Lord, to deal with those things, Lord, that prevent us from walking into the promises that you have for us, Lord. We want to be a people that are victorious. We want to be a people, Lord, that are standing tall, Lord, and we just like that tree the picture of a tree that you've given us, Lord, that this body, Lord, will truly be a mighty tree in this area, Lord, with many little houses of seed, actually, hanging from it, Lord, where people can come feed from it, Lord, and also to take that seed elsewhere, Lord. So, Father, I pray your blessing upon your people, upon each person sitting here, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you will give him the strength and the courage through your Holy Spirit, Lord, to face those raging rivers in their lives, Lord, and not actually just face them, Lord, but actually, Lord, just to walk into it and say, get behind me, because my God has got a plan and purpose for me, Lord. So I pray your protection upon them, Lord. We ask, Lord, that you are that from this day forth, Lord, we're going to hear mighty testimonies of how you have taken your people from raging rivers that face their lives, Lord, but that they will have victory over it, Lord, because you strengthen them. We ask this in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.